Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with the reign of Amaziah as we pick up in 2 Chronicles, chapter 25, verse 14. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
And so the king brought back the gods of the Edomites and bowed down and began to burn incense unto them. And therefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, "Why have you sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of your hand?" I mean, their gods evidently are empty, not powerful at all. Why would you forsake the living God and follow after these gods? So it came to pass as he talked with the king that the king said to him, "Who asked you to counsel me? You better shut up, for why should you be smitten?" And then the prophet did shut up, and he said, "I know that God hath determined to destroy you, because you have done this, and you haven't hearkened to my counsel. Buddy, you've picked your path. It is destruction." Then Amaziah, the king of Judah, took advice probably from his counselor, said, "Man, those mercenaries, you know, they ripped up those cities and they took some spoil. Let's, you know, we're strong. We just wiped out the Edomites. Let's go and let's teach Israel a lesson." So he sent unto Joash, the king of Israel, a message and said, "Come, let's see one another in the face. Let's face off, man." So Joash, the king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, the king of Judah, and he said, "The thistle, a thorny plant that was in Lebanon, sent to the big cedar tree of Lebanon, and it said, 'I want your daughter for my son as his wife.' And there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon, and he tramped down the thistle." It's just sort of trying to speak in a parabolic kind of a way. It wasn't a very good analogy, but it was just, hey, you're like a little thistle, man. You're coming to the cedar tree, and just a wild beast is able to trample you. You don't have any, you know, you're not in the same league with us. So you say, 'Lo, you have smitten the Edomites, and your heart now is lifted up to boast. You better just stay at home, for why should you meddle to your hurt, that you should fall, even you and Judah with you?'" So the king is trying to conciliate him. He doesn't really want to go to war. He is saying to Amaziah, "Look, you've had victory over the Edomites. Be satisfied, man. You really better just stay home and enjoy and savor the victory that you have, because if you meddle, you're going to get hurt. And why should you meddle to your own hurt?" Great question. And surely it's a question that we should consider any time we are tempted to meddle around with sin. How many times are we tempted just to mess around with sinful pleasures, to dabble in the area of sin, to meddle with alcohol, to meddle with drugs, to meddle with sex? These things that can destroy us. And the king said, "Why is it that you meddle to your own hurt, that you should fall? You should be destroyed, and Judah with you, taking down others with you." But Amaziah would not listen, for the whole issue really was of God, for God was seeking to deliver Judah into the hand of their enemies because they had turned from him and sought the gods of the Edomites. So Joash, the king of Israel, went up, and they met each other in the face to face, he and Amaziah, at Beth Shemesh, which is around 12 miles from Jerusalem, 15 miles, which belongs to Judah. And Judah was put to the worse before Israel, and they fled every man to his tent. And Joash, the king of Israel, took Amaziah, the king of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, and he brought him to Jerusalem, and he broke down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate for 400 cubits or 600 feet. He took all the gold, the silver, the vessels that were found in the house of God with Obed-Edom, and he took the treasures of the king's house, and he took hostages also, and he returned to Samaria. So notice he first of all lost part of his defenses. 600 feet of the wall was broken down. Then he lost his treasures. And then the people were taken captive. And thus is often the result of meddling. Meddling around with sex or with booze or whatever. You lose part of your defenses. It's an amazing thing how the drugs attack, first of all, your will to resist. So the moment you introduce drugs into your system, they begin to attack that area of your brain that gives you the capacity of resisting. And once they destroy your resisting power, man, you've had it. You're gone. And those who are drug addicts actually have no power to resist. It's been destroyed by the drug. It's insidious in that it does that. And the same with alcohol. Your resistance gone. Your defenses are gone. And thus you become very quickly the captive. You become very quickly bound by your appetites. The slave to your appetites. And then he took the treasures. Meddling around with sin, you lose valuable treasure. The treasure of innocence. Oh, as I look at my grandchildren, I see these precious little kids, so innocent. And I think, what a beautiful thing it is. But you know, it's sad. It's a corrupt, rotten world. And innocence is so soon lost. The children in the neighborhood coming over, saying naughty words and all. All of a sudden, these pure little minds become polluted from the world. Our two little granddaughters today, went into the restroom, and they came back and they said, there was some writing on the wall, but we won't tell you what it is. But you see, they're old enough now to read. And as soon as they're old enough to read, then there is that, again, loss of innocence just because someone has such a cruddy, filthy mind that they would write dirty words on a restroom wall. A man's ambition must be small if he writes his name on a restroom wall. I mean, it's just... The loss of innocence, purity, and then taking captive the hostages. And how Satan loves to take a person captive. And hostages are usually held against their will. And Satan holds people even against their will. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said that we might take them from the captivity of the enemy who has taken them captive against their wills. Satan does not fight fairly. He's not interested in a fair fight. Don't expect to have him abide by the rules. The Bible says the God of this world has blinded their eyes that they cannot see the truth. He doesn't mind blinding you to the truth. He doesn't mind holding you as a captive, as a hostage. But thank God, Jesus Christ came to set at liberty those that were captive and to open the prison house to those that are bound. And the power of Jesus Christ can break the hold that Satan has on your life. When Jesus called Paul the apostle to preach the gospel unto the Gentiles, he said to deliver them from the power of darkness and the power of Satan. And that's what the gospel is all about, freeing people from the power of darkness. Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived after the death of Jehoiah, king of Israel, for 15 years. The rest of the acts of Amaziah, the first and the last, behold, they're written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. Now, after the time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But they sent to Lachish after him, and they slew him there. And they brought him upon the horses and buried him with his fathers in the city of Judah. So Amaziah also was assassinated. Didn't pay, really, to have a losing record as a king. People didn't appreciate that. And often assassinated the king after defeat in battle. So here he was victorious over the Edomites. Everybody was praising him. He picks a fight with Joash. He starts to meddle around in spite of the fact that he was warned not to. But you see, a man who won't listen to God usually won't listen to anybody else. When the prophet of God came to him and warned him, say, man, you know, you shouldn't turn away from God and serve these idols. He said, shut up, man, or you'll get hit, you know. He wouldn't listen to God. Now, the king warns him, don't meddle. He won't listen to the king. Headstrong people can get into trouble. How important it is that we learn to listen to God and that we heed what God says. We hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Then all of the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him the king in the place of his father Amaziah. And he built Eloth, which is the present-day Eilat, that coastal city down in the area of the Gulf. His father Amaziah had conquered the Edomites, and so Uzziah takes advantage of the fact that that territory had become part of Judah, and he built the city of Eloth, or he rebuilt it and restored it to Judah after that Amaziah had slept with his fathers. He was 16 years old when he began to reign. He reigned for 52 years, a very long reign. In fact, there's only one king who had a longer reign than Uzziah, and that was Manasseh. He reigned for 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah, and she was from Jerusalem. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. I always sort of thrill with anticipation when I read that. I cringe when I read, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, because you know that that's going to be followed by a downhill plunge. When it reads, and he did that which was right, you know that you're going to have a successful reign. And this is the way all of the kings are evaluated. As you go through the Chronicles here, as it gives the name of the king, as it's introducing the king, it tells you basically the most important thing about his life, and that is his relationship with God. And that is the most important thing about your life. All of your accomplishments or whatever else are not as important as your relationship with God. What is your relationship with God? Are you doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord? That's what counts. And that's the most important bit of information that we could have concerning any of you, and that is your relationship with God. If you were writing your autobiography, and this important issue was to be put in your biography, which indeed it should, what would you write concerning your own relationship with God? In each of the kings, his relationship with God was an important factor, and it surely affected how he reigned and the kind of a reign that he had. According to all that his father Amaziah did. Now, Amaziah, the writer here, graciously overlooks his worship of these gods of the Edomites, which was a horrible sin for which he was punished. But we read, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. Now, it should be noted that during the reign of Uzziah, Isaiah was alive. In fact, Isaiah began his ministry at the death of Uzziah. In chapter 6 of Isaiah, he speaks of, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, sitting upon the throne. His train did fill the temple. Then said I, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. And then he saw a cherubim that took a coal from off the altar, and he touched his lips, and he said, now are your lips clean. And then he heard the voice of the Lord saying, who will go for me? And Isaiah responded, I will go. Here am I, Lord, send me. And so Isaiah's call came at the death of Uzziah. So as we move now through Uzziah, and through the reign of Jotham and Ahaz, we are dealing with a period of time in which Isaiah was prophesying unto Judah. There were two other prophets whose ministry also existed at this same time in history. Hosea also was prophesying at this time, as was Amos. So if you really want to get an A in the course, you should this week, along with your continued reading in 2 Chronicles, you should read the prophecies of Hosea and Amos. I won't throw Isaiah at you, that's a pretty long one. But the first 6 chapters of Isaiah will give you spiritual insight to the conditions at this time. But Hosea and Amos will also give you insight to the conditions of the nation at this particular time, and it'll help you tie the prophets together with the historic period in which they were prophesying. So that's Hosea and Amos, and then, of course, the prophet Isaiah. Now, there is a prophet Zechariah, but that isn't this prophet. The prophet Zechariah, who wrote the book of Zechariah, he comes way after the Babylonian captivity. He is down the road a long ways yet. But here's a man, Zechariah, the only place in the scripture where he's mentioned. His name only gets mentioned once. But hey, that would be pretty neat to have your name mentioned even once in the book. But we don't know who he is. We don't know a single thing about him, except that he had understanding in the visions of God. But the implication is that he had a strong influence on Uzziah. That as long as he was alive, he exerted that influence over Uzziah. So Uzziah sought the Lord all of the days of Zechariah, who had the understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made his ways to prosper. Putting God first in our lives is so important. If we put God first in our lives, God will take care of the other issues of our lives. If we put first the other issues of our lives, then we will be so busy trying to take care of the other issues, you'll have no time for God. But if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, God will take care of everything else. Now, this is the mistake that is so commonly made. We are so concerned with taking care of everything else, so concerned with getting enough money to pay the bills and all, that we're constantly, our nose is at the grindstone. Whereas if we would get the priorities of our lives corrected, putting God first and seeking God first, then God would take care of the physical needs of our lives.
We'll return with more of our study through the book of 2 Chronicles in our next lesson, as we continue with the reign of Uzziah. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord bless you and guide you as you go this week. May the Lord give you strength, and may you walk and live after the Spirit, and may you respond after the Spirit. May your life be pleasing unto God as our actions come into harmony with our declarations of what we believe. May we show it in the works that we do, in Jesus' name.
The Word for Today presents this year's Prophetic Viewpoint on DVD and MP3 with Pastor Brian Broderson.
So I want to just encourage you tonight, and I want to remind you of a few things, that despite all of the negative things that are going on in the world, there's some really good things happening. And the Lord is working powerfully all over the world.
In a collection of messages from Don Stewart and Pastor Chuck Smith discussing world news events in light of what the Scriptures declare.
We need to really pray. I don't think that we're beyond God's help. And I think that, as God said, if my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then would I hear from heaven, and I will heal their nation.
To order your copy of this year's Prophecy Update with Pastor Chuck Smith, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org or call us at 800-272-WORD.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.